Get out there. I'm talking about some of the stuff I've done in recovery. Okay? I still wanted to die after having years clean, but too much of a punk to go back out there. So I subtly tried to do things like unprotected sex. You know what I'm saying? But to qualify, my clean date is December 8th, 1986. And when I came in the doors, I love Narcotics Anonymous. And I want to say that my first meeting was an AA meeting. But I don't want to lie, okay? But when I went to my first NA meeting, and it encompassed the disease of addiction the way it did and how addiction manifests itself in so many areas, that was me. You know, because if I can't get some dope, I'm going to drink. If I can't do that, I'm going to sex. If I can't do that, I'm going to eat. If I can't do that, I'm going to shop. You know, it's only God's, through God's grace, I ain't done the gambling thing. You know? But when I came in, I didn't come in to change no whole lot of stuff. Y'all got to keep me on point. Yeah, see? I ain't used to long time in D.C. They be like this, you know? At the time, I had been off the street. When I came in 1986, I had been off the street for a long time. Hadn't shot no dope, still haven't shot no dope since 1972. Got off of methadone in 74. But I was in denial about white wine. You know, because I figured, you know, dang, leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? I ain't tricking. I ain't trying to cash nobody else's check. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to snatch nobody's pocketbook, call myself playing the shot, knowing I ain't got that enough finesse, because that's what they said you had to have then, finesse. You know what playing the shot is, you know, pickpocketing, you know. You ain't been going to, you know, I said, if I could give me the pocketbook. You know what I'm saying? I snatched it, you know what I'm saying? That was my first charge. So I didn't see where there was anything wrong with, you know, to me being able to go in a club, drink a white wine, you know what I'm saying, and just chill. But I started going to church, and I don't want the newcomer to get confused, you know, but I'm telling you my story and how the religion thing worked with me, you know. I started going to church, and there was a lot of recovering people at church. And when they went in the basement to go to the meetings, I went upstairs to the sanctuary, you know, to go to choir rehearsal, prayer meeting. And I had one that asked me, you know, why you not coming down in the basement with us? I said, shit, y'all drunk motherfuckers need that. I don't need it, you know. So, and that's what I said to them. And what happened was I was able to stay in church for 8 years and not use anything, just go to church, you know. I had gotten saved, and I could shout with the best of them, you know. I could shout up the aisle on one leg, turn around and come back on the same leg, you know. Speak in tongues, you know what I'm saying. Just have a wonderful day at church. And then when I go home, I cuss everybody out. And my husband at the time was shooting dope. And he used to always say, something wrong with you. You know? And I would be like, something wrong with you. I ain't shooting dope, nigga. You shooting dope. You know what I'm saying? But he was so right. You know, he was so right. And so I did that for 8 years. I was able to stay clean for 8 years just going to church. And then one night, I decided I was going to start going to the clubs and singing. You know what I'm saying? And I was one of those that was able to sit in the clubs for 2 years and drink ginger ales. You know, two years, regular, on a regular basis. And then one night, the waitress came by and said, "Oh yeah, you want ginger ale, right?" I said, "Who the hell told you that?" I said, "No, give me a white wine." You know, and I was off to the races with white wine. Now, I know some people probably say, "How can white wine carry you?" But I would end up with 10 to 15 white wines on the table a night, trying to nod. Because for real, I wanted to shoot some dope. You know what I'm saying? But I was too scared. I was too much of a punk to really go back out there. And so the guy that I was singing with, who was shooting dope, who I was in love with, that's part of my story. You know what I'm saying? You got to have some kind of crisis, you know, or just be at a zero level to be involved with me. You know what I'm saying? That's the only type of man that I could feel good being with. You had to either be shooting dope, crazy as hell, you know what I'm saying? You got some kind of problem. Otherwise, you did not appeal to me. You know? And I'm sure I missed some good men along, but hey, you know, what can I say? You attract what you are. You know? And so what happened was, he came past the table and touched me on the shoulder and said, "Why are you trying to nod off a white wine?" He said, "You might as well shoot some dope with me." Which made sense. You know, but I was too scared to go back out there. And I'm telling you why I was too scared to go back out there, because I had a 300-pound trick. And the nigga, he was about 400-500 pounds. You know what I'm saying? But he was my regular. You know? And I was this big. You know, and of course, you know, I got lost in the salt. That was some disgusting stuff. Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? I think that was one of the things that I hated worse about being out there, was having to sleep with men that I probably wouldn't have even gave a second look to. But because they had the package, I had to go along with the bullshit, you know. Laugh at the jokes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, daddy. You know? So, you know, when I came in, I had been off the streets for a while, but I had a husband who was whipping my behind 24/7. So, Corrine, you go to church, you save, you know, you got Jesus, you know what I'm saying? You ain't used in 8 years. Why you with a man that's whipping your behind? Because that's all I thought that I deserved, was an ass whipping. You know what I'm saying? Now, for those who, like, in here and don't curse no more, you know what I'm saying? Excuse me, don't mean to offend you. You know, but this is Narcotics Anonymous. This ain't church. This is my story. I got to tell it. Because you know what? When I first came in here, every other word was motherfucker. I'm Corrine. I'm an addict. Motherfucker. That's how angry I was, you know. But what happened was, I got sick and tired of me. Corrine, you clean now. You know what I'm saying? So why do you continue to settle for less? Why do you continue to make somebody love you that don't even love themselves? How can you think you're going to love another human being when you don't love yourself, Corrine? So, for a while, and I don't recommend this to no newcomer, but my process has been a little slow. You know what I'm saying? If your process is slow, let it be slow. Don't let nobody tell you where you need to be. Damn, you should have worked on that by now. Look, this is my process. Because when I work on it, it's going to be a thorough job. Because I ain't trying to come back to it. You know? But my process was kind of slow, you know? And I was, you know, asking my high pal, man, all these other people got the bling bling and the, you know what I'm saying, and the home and the job and the, you know what I'm saying, just, you know what I'm saying, just all this, you know, all this, you know. What's up? You know? But what my God told me was that I'm going to take you a route. And if you're obedient, you're going to be all right. Because the route that I'm taking you, when you ain't got the bling bling, and when you ain't got the man, and when you lose the job, and when you lose the home, you're going to still feel good about you. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you, I wrestled with that decision. You know what I'm saying? Because my whole thing, when I came in recovery, I remember I had 90 days clean. The dude had 90 days. You know how you find your way back to the coffee pot? Don't even drink coffee. You know what I'm saying? All you got to do is say to me, you cute. And I'd be like, thank you. You know, nigga had a nice little curl going on. You know, later I found out it was S curl. You know, and you know, we exchanged numbers, and the lady that was sponsoring me at the time had 15 years, and she looked at me and she said, "You know, you getting ready to F up." Went upstairs behind her. I said, excuse me. This is how great that was. Excuse me. Hello. I asked you to be my sponsor to help me stay clean. Not to tell me who to screw. Because I know you mad because ain't nobody hollering at you right now. You know. And I dealt with dude for about 4 months. Took 2 years to get over it. I don't know. One night he just got up out of my bed and went and got married. I'm still not understanding that. But you know what? I done moved on. You know what I'm saying? Because when you don't work on all that stuff in here, another one gonna come. You know? So what happened was the faces started changing, but the situation stayed the same. Instead of Joe, it was Mo. But the situation was the same. And I would always end up in pain. You know what I'm saying? Wondering why he leave me. You know? And in my 12th year, I encountered the one that took me to my next level spiritually. He was 25, I was 40. So I'm like, how can I pass this up, you know? I mean, come on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not looking at the other stuff. He at home with his mama. You know what I'm saying? And then one night, you know, youngin said, do you have to go to that meeting tonight? And I said, hell no. Shit, they'll be there. You keep doing what you're doing, we're going to keep coming back here. So just like with the drugs, when the drugs stop liking you, the whole thing changes. You know what I'm saying? When the drugs stop working, the whole thing changes. So of course, I actually felt the feeling going to my pleasure centers in my head, but I couldn't catch myself because I was gone. You know what I'm saying? And I always say I never wish human addiction on nobody. Now I know some people in here don't like to talk about that sex thing because you call it getting your man and You know what I'm saying? Long as I'm clean and, you know, but if you're using sex to make yourself feel good, you ain't clean. You got to have some abstinence from that too. You know what I'm saying? In order to get a grip. And that's what I had to do. I'm going to bring it back to me, because I know some people don't like to hear that. But then don't come and ask me how I did it. And then when I tell you, you know what I'm saying. But your process is your process. But what my higher power told me I had to do was, after I started renting cars to go tree box, after having this man in my house, this boy in my house, I'm paying the bills, I'm feeding him every day, telling me I can't afford him. Something wrong with that picture. You know? But one more time, I refuse to do the work that's necessary on Corrine for Corrine to feel good about herself. So it always got to be somebody else. And what happened was, the breakup was so devastating, you know, that it was hard to let go. It was hard to let go. But the saying is so true. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know what I'm saying? When the pain become great enough, then you'll be willing to make a change. And what happened was, my 12th year recovery, after continuously doing stuff that only hurt me, because I'm still running. Because me, I'm the last person I want to meet. I don't want to deal with the molestation issues. I don't want to deal with the fact that my mother and father left me. I don't want to deal with the fact that I was just constantly beaten physically with extension cords, and even in the street kidnapped, and nigga didn't, you know, do nothing sexually. He just beat me for 8 hours. And then after he finished, just took me back up 17, dropped me off. The rapes had become so normal for me that after the act is over, I just find a gasoline station to go to and clean up and proceed on doing what I got to do. So I ain't want to face none of that. I ain't want to look at none of that. Because once again, that's saying something wrong with me. But you know what? I got sick and tired. I got sick and tired of being a doormat. I got sick and tired. And I'm not just talking about men. I'm talking about my children. You know what I'm saying? My kids, who held a lot of shit over my head, I got tired of buying the damn tennis shoes. I got tired of them bringing crack cocaine up into my house, selling it, make me lose my good Section 8. I wasn't having it. You know? I got sick and tired of just settling for less. So my 12th year recovery, I fell on my knees, and I asked God to show me what is wrong with me. Because it can't be them. Just can't be them, God. It got to be me. Show me what is wrong with me that I keep accepting this. Show me why I can't just be with me sometimes. Show me why I got to have a nigga in the house. Because, you know, at one time, I wouldn't even clean my house up unless a man was coming over. That was the only incentive. You know? And what happened was, like I said, my process was slow. You know? So when I started really surrendering and going into my process, you know what I'm saying? I was like this, you know? And had some friends and stuff, they was like this, you know. But in my process, I started easing up with them, you know. Yeah. Then passing them by. You know, and what happened was, some female friends of mine started trying to compete with me. You know what I'm saying? And when I call and still be giving them my thing, you know, but the only thing they would give me is that, once again, you know, that shit ain't happening to me, shit, because I'm doing, you know, okay. Okay. But I'm going to still stay in my process. You know what I'm saying? And what has happened, I have begun to build a relationship with the God of my understanding and me. Because I started hearing, you can't have a relationship with another human being if you don't have a relationship with yourself. How are you going to give something away that you don't even have? Why would you put that burden on another human being to make that person love you when you don't even love yourself? So that's what I began to do. You know, and it got better, and it got better, and it got better. I was able to be with me. I was able to be abstinent for 7 years. But that was my process, because I had to back up. You couldn't have told me not to have no sex. Oh, you done lost your damn mind. Damn, what can I do? But it was the best thing that it's the best decision that I could have made for me. And I ain't saying you got to make that decision. I'm telling you my story. Because if the shit don't get no better after each whatever, something wrong. You know what I'm saying? I found out I had to deal with me, because eating wasn't going to do it, tricking wasn't going to do it, and oh yeah, I was tricking. I was paying youngin. Because somebody said, I was telling somebody, I was like, this nigga won't get a job. They were saying, why should he go around you his job? I was like, oh, for real? Girl, like waiting to tell when she say, did he steal my money out of my pocket? Hello. You know, so after doing that, it's made all the difference in the world. And I truly can say today that I have the gift of goodbye. Because if you got to go, you got to go. See, you wouldn't want to be. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't going to go through all that, because anybody that don't want to be with Queen here, you know, all it is that they ain't supposed to be there. I found out in reaching my different levels in here spiritually, everybody can't go. I be trying to pull, you know, come on, nigga, get up. You know what I'm saying? Everybody cannot go. That ain't just a man. I mean friends, some old folk, family members. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't go. The worst thing that I can do now is struggle against the moment. If I ain't got nobody, I got to accept I ain't got nobody. Deal with what it is now. It is what it is. And it's a reason. So I've learned that when people walk out of my life now, they ain't supposed to be there. And so I don't try to convince them to stay. I don't call them. I was seeing somebody for the past 2 years. You know, it just didn't work out. And once I understood, because you know at one time it should be over 2 years and I still don't know. I'd be the last one to know. 2 years is over, but I'm still in the relationship all by myself. So when I understood that this was not going to work, I called him, and not out of anger or none of that, I just said, don't call me anymore, because this ain't going nowhere. So I saw him at the Giant. So I was like, hi, Mr., blah, blah. So he said, I don't know if I should speak. You told me not to talk to you. I said, no, I told you don't call me. I said, but ain't nothing wrong with speaking. How you been? Good. See ya. At one time, I would have stood up at the door like this. You know, like, please don't go. No, I have actually done that. Please don't go, don't go. Even they would say, well, why do you want me to stay? You know? But ultimately, what happened is I got sick and tired of myself. Round here, faking the phone, talking real good, trying to sound profound, showing up. Yeah, show up, but you know, this is another thing. To me, it's a matter of choice when you use. Now, that's just to me. Because I have seen people come to meetings regularly and use. You know, and what I don't like is how people use that when other people trying to do something with their lives. You know, like go back to school. You know what I'm saying? They might not make as many. A newcomer, you got to make meetings. You know what I'm saying? This is the big girl, big boy stuff I'm talking about. You got to get there. You know what I'm saying? But to make a person feel bad because they're doing trying to do something with their life, because they're going back to school or, you know what I'm saying, got to do what they got to do to live. Because I don't believe in just, I believe that you live out there. So you can hide up in here, you know what I'm saying, for years and not do no work and still be the same judgmental, angry, mean, nasty. Why are you coming to meetings? That's what I want. Why are you coming? But they got the right to come until their processes. You know what I'm saying? But, okay, I was on meth for a while, so I lost my train of thought. But that's basically how it worked for me, being sick and tired of being sick and tired. Thank you.
That was Corey S. out of Washington. That was Corey S. out of Washington, D.C. Our next speaker is also out of Washington, D.C., A.J.
Hi, everybody. I'm A.J. I'm at it.
A.J.
And Mark told me that it was 40 minutes to talk. I don't know if I could talk 40 minutes. But I'm gonna try to do it, cause like, I shot dope, drunk meth. Hey, mom, how you doing? Glad to see you. Shot dope, drunk meth, and shot coke, and that's how I end up here at Narcotics Anonymous. My first convention that I came to was Saddle from the Storm. And that was it was a great, great convention. And I didn't know that I would actually be, the rooms are getting bigger for me. When they first asked me to speak, it was a small room. You know, and I would come to the big meetings like this, and I would say, man, why they give me that little room? You know what I mean? I said, I must got to get some more time or something. You know, and so people told me just keep coming back. And, you know, so this room is way bigger than the room that I used to go to and shoot dope in. The bathroom. I always go to the bathroom, even in my home place, and ain't nobody there but me. I would go in the bathroom to shoot dope. Instead of just shooting it right there, like somebody gonna come out of the kitchen and say, "You shooting dope?" Because you know shooting dope is a bad thing. So I was raised in D.C. I left D.C. when I was about 8 years old, about 6 years old. Went to Cleveland to live with my father for about 2 or 3 years. When I came back, all my sisters and brothers, I'm the youngest out of nine, and all of my sisters and brothers had changed in them three years I was gone. They had started smoking weed. So I was young, the youngest, so they automatically turned me on to some weed. And when I first smoked that first joint, I laughed all day. I said, "I'm going to see my mother." They would say, "Where you going?" Because they had to keep an eye on me because that was my first joint. So they was like, "Where you going?" I said, "I'm going down there to laugh at my mother." He said, "Boy, you better stay in here." So I liked the I liked the smoking weed because it would make me laugh. The next time I smoked some weed, I only laughed a half a day. So I was already getting in trouble. the disease already took over real fast for me. All day to half a day? That's quick. So then I would smoke weed, and then I wouldn't laugh for half a day. I just laugh for a few hours. You know what I mean? So the disease was steady growing. Then we moved uptown from after the riot in 68. We moved up northwest. And up northwest is where all the pretty shiny bikes is at. Everybody got bikes up northwest. I come from northeast, rough area. Everybody over there is on welfare and joning on each other, and they on welfare. You know what I mean? They got just as much peanut butter in the cabinet from the government as you do. But we joan, you know? And so when we moved up northwest, and all these pretty bikes was there. So this one bike, I used to go past this house, and this bike was out on the sidewalk. And I'm not used to seeing a bike shiny like that just sitting there. So I'm thinking I'm getting set up for the police. So I look around, and I say, y'all ain't going to get me. And I leave, and the next day I come back, the bike there again. So this time I walk up to it, and I touch it. And I look around, and I say, y'all ain't going to get me. And so the third day I went around there, the bike was there. I got on it, put the kickstand up, and hauled tail, stole the bike. Now, that's the same. The thing is when I was in Northeast, the bicycles in Northeast had a nerve to steal was bikes that didn't have no rubber on the rims. You hit brakes, sparks fly all over the place, or while you're riding, sparks fly all over the place, so you slide everywhere. Them new bikes I was used to, and they even had a nerve to chain them up. That's the kind of area I was from. So when we moved uptown, and it was all great, uptown guys was also doing, they probably was doing heavier dope in Northeast too, but they was actually doing heroin in Northwest. One thing about the guys uptown, Northwest, they got money. When they didn't do petty stuff like me steal a bike, with no rubber on the rims and try to sell that. they would sell stuff or rob banks and stuff like that because, they needed more money because their parents had money. So I guess their habit was a little bit bigger. So I got introduced to heroin then. That was in the little package. And I actually wanted to do the dope so I could be a big guy. Ain't that something? That's crazy. You want to actually shoot dope so you can say you're a big guy. You know what I mean? I was already messed up in the mind. I got nine sisters and brothers. I got all of their ways, including mine. That's a lot of ways. So I could be anybody at any given day. That's a lot of people to be. You know what I mean? Who are you today? Mark. You know? Mark even said, stop acting like Tony. You know what I mean? You know? So, I really didn't need to be on no drugs. You know? Nah. He didn't mean to, huh? But anyway, so when I moved uptown and got on heroin, my whole life started to change then. Because now I got to not steal that bike to ride, I got to steal that bike to sell now. See, heroin is a totally different ball game. You know, they say you get hooked on heroin, and I ain't believe it. See, they told me when I was doing dope that that was a bad thing to do. It was my choice. I don't know. I'm not going to say it was my choice because my brain just wasn't working right. I got to have a big problem if you say dope or give you a habit and I want to do it anyway. So, you know, if they tell you crack, that name alone should have told you that you got problems. Crack! That's a name that tell you, hey, look, I don't want none of that. But no, we're attracted to names like that. Crack. Where is it at? We're attracted to names like that, so we better think from now on that, wait a minute, you know, like they said to me, they got 747. That's what they used to call some dope. 747. That's a big plane. That plane carried about, what, 300 passengers? Man, that's a big plane. Somebody should have told me then, AJ, you got some problems. If you like 747, you got some problems. And I never smoked crack. And thank God I didn't. You know, because when I came home from the penitentiary, which I was sick and tired of going to penitentiary. I was actually sick and tired of shooting dope. You know, especially once they didn't come out with, once they didn't have that drug. Now I talk about crack, a name called crack. Listen to this name. Bam! Listen to that name. Bam! They got a drug that was called that. Some of y'all know and heard about it. Bam! And I ain't even, look, when all you had to do was come up to me and say, bam, I'd do like this. Bam, bam, bam. That's how much I love bam. So I can't talk about crack. Anytime I go for a bam, I can't talk about nothing no more. And I thought about that until when I got in here, that's when it became clear to me that I was crazy than a mug. You know, to use a drug that's called bam. And I used to try to stop shooting bam. And I would say, I ain't shooting no bam today. You know, and then the next day, only time I would say I'm gonna stop getting high is when I was so high. Then I say, man, I ain't getting high no more. I would take the works and toss them. In case y'all don't know what works is, the needle, toss it. And then I would say, I ain't getting high no more. And then the very next day, I'm looking for that guy with that good dope. Then I go looking for my works that I tossed over there, and I can't find them. So the next time I say, I'm not getting high no more, I'm sick and tired of getting high, and throw the works away, I follow them. See where they land, because I'm coming back. I don't want that same thing to happen. So I have been through some stuff. ain't never said that I was gonna stop getting high when I got beat. That's the time I should say, I'm not getting high no more. I got beat. You know what I mean? But no, not me. I'm not going to stop until I get high. Then I'm going to stop. And then I would go down, I would catch the bus, go downtown. You know I catch the bus because I ain't got no car. And if I had a car, I ain't have a license. And if I had a license, I ain't have a insurance. It was always something or all of them. You know what I mean? I was Murphy's Law. I ain't need a license. What I need a license for? I know how to drive. What I need insurance for? I know how to drive. So I would catch the bus and go downtown and cop. And on my way back, between copping and getting to the house, I lost my drugs. Now, I don't know how that happened. That ever happened to y'all? You know you copped it. You had it in your hand, you put it in your pocket. And when you went in your pocket, it was gone? So what happened was, the next time I got and went and copped, which was once I couldn't find it, some kind of way I got money, went back downtown, copped. This time I put it in my hand, closed it, looked at it, opened it up, closed it. Opened it up, closed it. Then I put it in my pocket, my hand like this, balled in a fist, put it in my pocket, and got home. I say, now disappear now. And when I opened it up, it was still there. That's how you got to hold on to this disease. This is how you got to hold on to your clean time. Tight. Tight. Don't let go. Hold on tight. You got some drugs, and, you know, they say we don't believe in God. I didn't believe in God. You know, because I would always have 1,000 excuses, like, you know, God, if it's a real God, you give me some more extra veins. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't have no more veins to shoot dope. If you're a God, give me some more veins now. Why you got me waiting up here trying to get a hit all day? You know, I need veins right now, you know. And the other thing was I would always do with God was play games with God. I would say, especially when I got beat. You know, I got beat for drugs before. You know, oh, yeah, plenty of time. But I ain't tell people on the street. I'm like, nah, man, I ain't never get beat. Yeah, right. I just got beat. But the thing is, I used to get beat, and I knew it wasn't dope. I knew it wasn't dope. I was like, please be dope. I would say, if it's a God, now's the time to prove it to me. Because if this is really, if you can turn this into dope, I'm going to quit. I close my eyes and I open them back up, and the package is still the same. BC. Them packs of BC, that's BC for headaches. And one time during my addiction, they told me, now you see what I'm saying? Sick and tired of getting beat. Sick and tired of begging God to give me an extra vein. Sick and tired of waking up sick, having to go to the meth clinic all the time, even on holidays. The meth clinic. Can't go nowhere. Wasn't trying anyway. If I used to be out front of the meth clinic saying, man, they need to give us our meth all week. I'm trying to go out of town. My out of town is, I've been living in D.C. My out of town is maybe the Safeway at Montgomery County or PG County. But I wasn't going no farther than that. But I want to go out of town. I say, can I get my meth? Because I'm going out of town. Where you going? I don't know yet. I got to talk to my wife. She got something planned. And yeah, she got something planned because me and my wife used together. where my accent at. But me and her used together, and we used to get high together. And that was one of the reasons why I didn't smoke crack. Because my wife, she would smoke crack. Yeah, 40 minutes I can use on that one. I can use this 40 minutes time now. But me and my wife, we used together. It was terrible. It was the worst thing I ever got myself into, using with my wife. And so I got big problems with anybody using. That's why I don't mess with nobody that use now. Because if I go back and using, I don't want to go back through that madness again with me. But what happened was my wife was in the room smoking crack, and I was in the room trying to shoot some dope. See, because I asked God for extra vein, remember? So it was taking a long time to get this dope in me. So by this time, I'm looking over there at my wife. She's burning the mirror. Scraping it. She got time to do all that. And it was about a 50 rock that I gave her. So she smoked, a lot of crack. All that was gone, and she was burning the mirror. So I said, what you doing? She said, I'm bringing it back. Bam! I had a bam flash. Because bams, you can do that with. You can squeeze the bams as many times you want, and when you put that water on it and taste it, if it's bitter, it's bam. So I said, she would burn the mirror, scrape it, smoke it, do something else with it, and burn it again, smoke it, scrape it, and do it again. I said, damn. You can do that? Bring it back? So I was getting ready. For right then, I had a thought in my mind to smoke some of that. But all of a sudden, she put it down and shot past me. I said, oh, shit. I say, something going on here. She ran downstairs. Now, you know, I was trying to get this drug in me, so you know I'm not going to leave the room. I think somebody's going to take it when I come. It ain't nobody there but me and her, and she went downstairs. So I finally got that in me, and then I went downstairs to see what the heck she was doing. And when I got downstairs, the refrigerator was moved. I say, see, that's why they call it crack. And so that was my reason to say no to crack. So I tell you, man, I had some crazy experiences during my time for using. And another time when I first get, like I always would go to jail, you know. And when I went to jail, I always went to jail because I had a dirty urine. You know, not that they checked me and say, okay, you got a dirty urine, you're going to jail. It was always dirty. My urine was always dirty. If they checked, it was dirty. And so I went to jail, and they gave me 10 years for Yeah, that same thing I did. And I went to jail, and they gave me 10 years for a burglary. Now I go to jail. You know, I'm quite sure y'all been to jail. I go to jail, and guy was like, everybody was in jail for, you know, big serious crimes. You know, so I had to be in jail for a big serious crime. So I was in there for being a professional burglar. You know, I knew Bernard Welch and, you know, all these other lies. So what happened was they sent me to the penitentiary for 10 years for a VCR. Yep. They said that I broke in the house. I didn't break in the house. The other two guys broke in the house. I had just got out of jail. So what happened was I didn't want them to rip me off. Because, you know, I'm with criminals. I don't trust them. I'm a criminal myself. I don't trust them. So they in the house. I'm saying they're not going to let me know if they find a big stash in there, some jewelry and some money. They're going to get out on me. So I need to be in there. Heck with being on probation. Heck with being just got out of jail. And they told me if I come back, I'm going to get 10 years. Heck with that. I just got out 2 weeks ago. I'm going in there. And I went in. Police was already on their way. Because somebody had seen them. So now I'm in the house. And we're always looking in and outside the window. Seeing if anybody coming, like the police. Man, I looked out the window. Police pulled up. I said, oh, my God. So I ran out the back door, me and my buddy. And my other buddy ran out the front door, got my car, and took off. Yeah, I would have done the same thing. I was getting away. But I run out the back door, and the police tell me, halt, halt, halt. So I know he can't shoot me from the back. I don't have no gun on me. I'm no threat. If he shoot me from the back, my family going to get a lot of money. I might be dead, but y'all gonna get some money, Mark. The police say, halt, halt. So I look back. Now I'm running towards the tree because I'm gonna do this so he can't hit me with the gun. So I turned around and looked, and when I turned it back around, bam! Right into the tree. Tree knocked me out. So that's a true thing, that cartoon George of the Jungle, watch out for that tree. That's some real stuff. Man, I'd say, man, I woke up, I was in the penitentiary. Damn, again. So when I went up to Hagerstown and they gave me them 10 years, my lawyer, which was a public defender, told me that I would be out in 2 years on that 10 years. So I bullcrapped the whole 2 years till I went up for parole. And it was in a big room like this, and about as many people in here now, that's how many people was going up for parole. I was cracking up, laughing, joking, talking crap. Yeah, my PO, my lawyer say two years, that's all I'm gonna do on the 10. It was 1984. When I went up in front of the lady, she was fine as a mug. She had pretty green hazel eyes. I was like, yes, sir. I likes her. And I'm in the penitentiary. And she looked at me, she said, how you doing, Mr. Johnson? I said, yes, sir, she likes me. That's her job to say Mr. Johnson to me, so I won't get crazy on her. She say, how you doing? I say, all right. She say, well, I see you been in trouble since you was 8. I was like, huh? You know, I'm like 27 now. What do you mean 8? And you've been getting high since you was 8. I said, yeah. She said, now, I was sitting straight up first. As she was talking, I was sliding down in the seat. She probably ain't seen nothing but my head over the top of this desk. Time she got through talking about me. And she said, Mr. Johnson, I see you. I'm going to give you a set off. I was like, And my lawyer told me 2 years. I said, oh, they setting me up. So I thought she was going to say, like, you know, 6 months. She said, I'll see you in 87. I said, wait a minute, 87? This 84, miss. She said, no, 87, July 87. That was 3 years and a half set off. That means I had to do actually 3 and a half years period. No good time or nothing. And I was like, are you serious, miss? She said, yeah. I said, all right. She said, don't come back in here with no more dirty yawns. I'm going to make you do the rest of the time. So I said, all right. I got up. No longer did she look fine as a mug. Right. Them contacts. Everybody was getting them since, but Vanessa Wynn was wearing them. But I found out later they was contacts. And then I came home, so I was sick and tired. I came home in 87. I came in the room to knock Kaiser Nams in 1987. I still didn't believe, though. I wasn't really liking y'all, for real. I was sitting in the back. I ain't come to no conventions. I would go to the meetings in the back. And I heard y'all sharing that if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to get what you get. So, and I heard y'all say, give it back. But I was half listening. I said, give it back, huh? So I went and hired, because I had got a business. So I went in around the way and hired him, my brother. This is my blood brother, for real brother. So I hired him. And I wanted him to see how good I was doing. And he said, yeah, I heard. So he said, I'm not, you know, really. Now I've been around with him all my life. And he was like, I'm not really doing drugs like that no more. I said, you're not? Nah. I said, okay. So once he got in, he started to feel me. In some kind of way, he felt that I was still bullshitting around. So he said, hey, check this out. I'm still sort of getting high, and I told you that from the get. But I need somebody to give me a hit. So I said, okay. So I hired somebody to hit him. The guy who I hired to hit him needed somebody to hit him. And so on and so on and so on. And so that's what happened to me, how I ended up starting to use again, because I already had it in my mind that I was going to use anyway. I just wanted to get an apartment. I just wanted to get a car. And that's it. And then I wanted a job. You know, and once I got them things, it was time to go. I no longer needed y'all anymore. I got everything. I got it going on. And what happened was, this time when I came back rough. Rougher than I came out of it came before. And I had this truck, this van. You remember, Val? I had this van. And I came in January 1994. So I ain't been back out since January 1994. That's right, clap, clap. See, I like the claps. You know, some people be like, no, don't clap for me. No, clap for me.
Right.
I like that, because when I clapped for people and gave them drugs, they didn't clap. You know what I mean? I turned them on and they didn't even clap. Right. Just give me more next time.
Right.
But anyway, so when I came back, I had this van, and the van had a bump habit. You know, because I came in the wintertime, and I came raggedy, and the fan on the van would not work, so I would have to hit speed bumps or bumps to get the fan to come on. Then I started having to hit the curve. Because the truck had got a habit now. I said, dang, man, you won't come on? You know, first of all, I had to do was hit little pebbles and come right on. Then I started having hit big things. And I was telling my brother the other day, you know, how we, you know, then came a long way. And that van, I was driving it one day, and I couldn't believe what happened. I was driving it, and I went to turn the corner, and the whole steering wheel came off. I was turned, and I was like, oh, ho! And so the only thing that was holding that steering wheel on was the horn wires, you know. So I had to put it back on real quick, you know, and hit brakes, man. That's bad. But now, that's why I was sick and tired. That's exactly why I was sick and tired. That kind of lifestyle. Sick and tired of that kind of lifestyle. This lifestyle I'm living now is the greatest. I mean, to ask me to speak, like I was saying, like this room is getting, the rooms are getting big. Hey, Mike, that's my sponsor back there. The rooms are getting bigger, Mike. Yeah, the rooms are getting bigger. I'm kind of like glad of that, you know, to be here on a Friday night, because this the night was the best night for me. Friday night, getting high after not working all week and get high? Yeah, I ain't work all week, but I knew I was going to be high Friday. For some reason, Friday, I was going to be high. And so for me to be up here on a Friday night not using is a miracle and is a blessing. You know, I got 13 years going in on 14. And I remember, you know, when I went and used, I didn't want nobody to know that I used when I started using with my brother and them. And what happened was, I went all the way up to New York and got a Bottles and James up in New York. I went to New York, yeah, David, and drunk a Bottles and James. I came back, and I thought y'all was going to see it on me. And y'all didn't recognize that I had used. So I said, man, they don't know that I used. Because y'all was like, we'll know. I was like, oh, yeah? So I thought y'all was going to spot it like the first time I had sex with a girl. You know, the first time I had sex with a girl, I thought, you know, y'all was going to spot it. But nobody spotted it, so I kept doing it. So the same thing was with the alcohol. I kept getting high. And then it just showed up. One day, it just was out of control. So if you keep pinching and chipping and thinking you're going to get away, we be right here to give you a hug when you get back. Right here. Because that's how it was for me. It was right here when everybody got back. You know, so what time is my time up? 5 o'clock? 15 more minutes? That's a 6 o'clock. Yeah. I am so glad to be free off of drugs. You know, and the thing is that I'm just going to, you know, end this because I can't talk the whole 40 minutes. So I'm going to end this and I'm going to turn it back over to I know my brother would love to be able to say a couple of words. So I'm going to turn it back over to him. Thank you. Oh, I want to thank East of the River for allowing me to speak. South Potomac. I want to thank South Potomac. I want to thank Jan for asking me to come in here and lead this meeting. I want to thank y'all for being here for me, all right? Thanks. Bye-bye.